Today we're going to be talking about a topic that impacts almost every aspect of your life.
Like, they especially think that they can't be social or they don't need to be social. Those are the people who really, like, they that really need help being social.
Starting a conversation has never been easier. We are one of the countries that have, like, all these deluded people, because people say... Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Bros Think Big podcast. This is the show where we talk about the simple and yet complicated ideas of self-improvement. Tune in and join us as we become the best versions of ourselves, just so that you guys can too. And always remember to like and subscribe for more. Today we're going to be talking about a topic that impacts almost every aspect of your life, and that's just being social. This is from building meaningful relationships or just enhancing your own personal growth. It is undeniable that learning to be social and understand how to have good communication skills is an important factor in your daily day-to-day life. And if you're going to take this from anyone, I can attest to this, because, and all of us can, because we've all seen the transition of how just like how life cleared up when we shifted from being antisocial to being social in the first place, right? So there's so much to delve into here. And I want to just talk about personal experiences and what you guys notice really like made a great change when you shifted into being more social. Yeah. And personally, I've become more social as life has gone on. I don't think I've ever really been like shy.
You were definitely not shy.
So I can't speak to that. But what I can speak upon is me becoming more social and how drastic of a difference that is. But Josh over here growing up was always shy. I know you were always he was very shy.
Yeah, I told you. I said that.
He was very shy.
Yeah, when we were little kids, you know, for example, if we wanted to play basketball and we saw two other kids and we wanted to play 2v2, it was always Sash who had to ask them. I just never wanted to ask. I was shy. Yeah, it was straight up. I felt uncomfortable.
And you're not like that anymore.
I was a little bitch.
You let your inner bitch win.
Let my inner bitch win.
So what have you noticed, just like on a grand scale, how your life has improved when you switched to being like Sash?
I mean, more relationships. As simple as that.
Or like, what was the turning point or the climax that you
what
made?
What was
that
the
change?
Turning point? It was definitely out of high school. I mean, I wasn't necessarily shy at the end of high school, but once I finally figured out that most people only think about themselves, and same with me, like that internal problem, I think almost every single time when you're shy, it's you thinking inside your head, you're overthinking it. And I was a huge overthinker when I was young, and that affected my relationships with women and with friends. And once I've kind of figured out that it's not as deep as you think it is, it's not, there's nothing scary. There's nothing them for them to judge you upon. And if they do judge you, who gives a shit?
Once I kind of realize you. Though.
Yeah, but we think they're judging us. Yeah. It's those self mind games or whatever you
people
want to call
judge
it.
You, though.
No, people. I'm saying most of the time, people are going to forget
gonna,
about it.
Yeah. But people think, like, if I come up and I'm like, do you want to play basketball? They're going to judge me. And you're scared. You're scared of that situation playing out. Even though that's like a not actually going to happen, but you're always, as an overthinker, you're always thinking of the worst scenario. Mm. You always thought about the worst scenario, and it was embarrassing. So the second I was like, dude, I don't care. I don't care what you think of me.
How'd you do that, though?
How'd you go about it? I said right out of high school. And because
I've mentioned this previously in the podcast, but when you're in high school, at least where I was, we spend 6 years, basically, even 12 years with some of your friends. And they're basically your inner circle of who you've known your entire life. Mm-hmm. And you think that's like everybody, they're so judgmental. Yeah. And there's so much drama packed in high school. And you think everybody's opinions matter. When at the end of the day, no one does. Because what they're thinking about is not how you fell in the hallway at night. But they're thinking about their personal problems with whether it may be with their parents, whether it may be with their friends. Whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So we like to self-inflict these problems so much.
Yeah. And that's once I kind of realized it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Dude, like, because
it doesn't matter.
Absolutely, like, spot on. And my transition is like I said earlier, I've never really been antisocial, but just like every other skill, this is something I had to build up on and practice tremendously to the point where I can actually like be where I am today to like have the relationships that I have. And when I was, like, shy, to a sense, to a degree, I would constantly be lonely. And it's not, like, alone at peace. It was lonely and feeling upset. Because I would constantly, like, I'm a human. I've never been someone to enjoy being by myself. I always liked having company around me, like someone not to necessarily cling on to, just to have someone around to converse with or whatever, just enjoy time and share memories yeah. with a certain person, right? And when I wouldn't have that, I would feel a certain type of way. And I had to understand that I need to make a change in order for me to actually go out and about, for me to actually go and become more social. There had to be some sort of change that I had to go through. Because if I wasn't, then I'm going to have that same scenario where I'm alone at gym and it's high school and I want someone there to be talked to, want someone to talk to. But instead, I stay on my phone and I scroll and I see what's going on with other people's daily lives on social media because I'm too nervous to even get myself out there in the first place. And it would suck. It would. The benefits that have came through that ever since is absolutely unreal. Starting a conversation has never been easier. How many times have people just gone outside and I don't know, maybe you're at a crowd, maybe you're at an event, like some sort of concert, and you just wanted to converse with someone just to like get someone's insights, just to have a conversation, just to like have someone to talk to. It's never felt easier. And that's such an important thing because anyone who wants to be a young entrepreneur, you need to learn how to network. You need to learn how to make those types of connections. And you need to learn how to be able to get yourself out there.
And it's not just the entrepreneurs.
Not at all. But that's just like, yeah, just to niche it down. Of course. So.
I mean, I just want to mention, for fuck's sake, this podcast would not exist if we were not sociable.
Yeah, it's true, bro.
For the backstory, as brief as possible, me and Mike knew each other. We are brothers. They're brothers. But essentially, me and Sash, we all go to the same gym, except Mike.
Now he does.
But at the time. And Sadula and Georgia, just two other people in the gym. At first, I don't know if you guys relate to this, but you kind of just look at this guy and he's like, this guy.
I think I know this guy.
Yeah, it's that thing where it's like not a respect. And not a respect.
But it wasn't until one of us had to say a word. You know,
props
had
to converse. Sazula, shout out.
Shout out to you. You were the one that came up to me.
I thought you came up to me.
And the conversation was just so natural, too.
I thought you came up to
me. No, you asked me.
Oh, you asked about the podcast. That's what I'm talking about.
No, the very first time we met, you came up to me and asked me about the lateral raises.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Georgie came up to me, right? Because I benched. I was like, dude, you're strong as shit. Just as simple as that.
You came up to me, told me about my buzz cut. Remember that?
No, I don't.
So nobody knows.
Okay. I know.
You're right. I remember what I do remember is that.
Rather than just thinking in our heads, should we say something? We did.
Mm-hmm.
And now, 2 years later, we're here talking about this topic on a podcast with fucking...
we've had so many guests on where we've learned so many valuable things.
Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, here we are, right?
Very insightful. Blah, 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 blah.
No, that's true. And sometimes...
It's a lot of blah, blah, blahs later.
Yeah, true.
And sometimes all it takes is just asking somebody, oh, how are you doing? Or, hey, what's your name? Or, I've seen you here. And some simple things like that can just spark a relationship and a conversation that can lead you to a very close friendship.
Dude, and that's going to be one of my strategies going into like how you can actually apply being social. That's part of it.
Yeah.
So crucial. So crucial. I don't even want to bring it up yet just because like so much value in that.
Yeah, right.
Mike, you were a quote-unquote drifter when you were younger, right?
I was too, bro.
I would say like when I was younger, I wasn't really used to making friends. I never really, because I really started my school career in like fourth grade. Because before that, I didn't really have many friends. I had like a couple school friends. But outside of that, outside of school, I never really talked to anyone. And so when I joined fourth grade and I started living, in the suburbs around people who are super nice and super friendly, etc., I didn't really know how to make friends at all, and that kind of trickled down. And I didn't really become social until like a year and a half or 2 years ago. I didn't really become super confident and social.
Yeah.
But I think it all started when I became more confident within myself, and also realized, like Josh mentioned it, no one really cares about, like in situations, no one's gonna go home and be like, oh, he really his positioning was awkward, he had a voice crack in between his sentence. I can't believe him. Like, no one's doing that. Even if someone was doing that, it's like it says more about them than you. So what I've learned in conversations and when conversing with people is to just be and just let things flow. Even when like I'm talking to people, you guys know like the awkward like silence sometimes.
Yeah, right.
It's like I never get awkward anymore. I can at least sit there, look at someone, and just smile and just say nothing. And just say nothing. I don't mind being in silence.
Yeah, and then something comes up.
And then I just think of something. But it just, usually if I was me a couple years ago, I would just start being like, well, what do you think? And like, I'd be like,
just to say something, right?
Uh-huh. But now I'm just like, I love the silence. I love just being in my own skin. And I feel like that's a really big part about being social, like knowing the character you are and being like logged in. You know what I mean? To like, you're not overthinking, you're not in your head.
But that's
your
a massive part.
You're not in your own little world. Like, it's actually like being like logged in, like, wow, like I'm present with this person.
Yeah, because what happens is when a conversation gets awkward, you can already know that, all right, that signals that very soon, most likely, this conversation is going to die out immediately. So whenever you go and try to pick up a girl, or you just want to like build a connection, someone you're networking with, and you feel that, okay, this is going, getting awkward. If you don't save that immediately, then the conversation is going to die out and both of you are going to just disperse. Right, so you being able to be confident with your own skin or comfortable in your own skin kills that being awkward scenario, because what happens is you don't need to speak. I don't need to put on an act to like get someone to impress me. I can just be myself instead of having to force some character that's not who I am.
Exactly.
You don't need that, and then that's silence doesn't mean being awkward.
It's actually I learned this thing about awareness. A lot of people, when they go through social life, they act in a way they want others to perceive them, or they act in a way according to other people. They don't act in a way that's actually them.
True to them, yeah.
They walk a certain way because this person's looking, or maybe say something because they want this person to think they're cool or something like that. That's where the inauthenticity comes in. That's when like trying to fit in. That's when maybe it's something deep down that's bugging you that... I mean, you're doing these things because, I mean, something happened in childhood, something like that.
And you feel more awkward when you do that for somebody else than what you would do if it was, like, you know, your authentic self.
You know exactly. I spent a month this year, it was to meet one new person every single day for the month. I met 27 people in a month. I didn't get all 30 every single day because some days I just didn't even go outside. I didn't go out in public at all. And so one of the people that we had on, his name was Gar, right? One of our guests, Gar.
Exactly.
And at this point, it's like, I don't really open up to people. I learned how to actually have conversations and learn to just have fun with it. Like the conversations are just here to have fun. You're not here to, see who's alpha or see who's like above someone else or to gain
show
status.
Dominance
like,
necessarily.
People have conversations to gain status or to gain approval or gain this. Like don't gain. There's nothing to, like, who cares? Just be in the moment. Like who cares about this or that, win, lose, gain status, this or that. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. It's really just connecting with someone on a deeper level. And so our buddy Gar that we had on, I think I told a story on the podcast we had with him.
Yeah.
But I was on the treadmill and it was nighttime and I literally was like, I need to talk to someone. And I was like kind of getting nervous and I saw Gar already. I was like, imagine if I talked to him. And I was just like, no way. I saw him in the gym. He was fucking jacked. He was big. I was like, no way. That's intimidating.
And that was the first person you... Talk to, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so I was on a treadmill, and he was on the treadmill right next to me. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Now I have to talk
to him. And I was like overthinking it first. I was like on the treadmill. I was like, okay, well, how do I start this? What should I say? Like, okay, he's a sling. Maybe I should connect this to the sling, blah, blah, blah. And then he leaves the treadmill. I'm like, oh shit, I lost my chance, right? But then he actually went to help this lady get her phone because she left it on a bench. He went and gave it to her, and he hopped back on the treadmill. And I was just like, hey, man, what you did there was... I forget what I said. That was very nice of you what you did. And from there on, that's when we had a whole conversation and stuff like that. I got to know him. We had him on the podcast.
Exactly.
We had his friend on the podcast. And now we're getting their other friend is on the podcast. Yeah. So that's where the network really expands, just from simply having a conversation.
And putting
listen, you're inner bitch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I almost lost a chance, but then it came right back. So
it's a sign.
That's true.
It was a sign.
Exactly. So it's simple as that. And it's like people overthink. People think like, because personally me, like I like my alone time. I like my solitude. Like in the mornings, I like doing my work alone. Like I like doing that type of stuff. I don't.
Oh yeah.
But I used to be like, no, I'm not gonna go out to people. Like I'm a lone wolf. I don't need anyone. Right. I don't need any of that. I don't need people in my life.
I want to be the villain.
But that was just cope. That was just
teddy bear.
That was just me saying things that I actually wanted in the first place. It's almost like saying, no, I don't need money. I don't need money. Right. Yeah, you do need money. Like
you're
just
neglecting the obvious.
Yeah, it's like almost like you're trying to lie to yourself, but you can't. It's like you needing to say that to yourself already proves that you do already need it. I don't need a girlfriend. No, I'm good.
You're trying to justify staying in the comfort zone, essentially.
Yeah,
exactly. So,
very interesting. Let's talk about like what it really looks like to be social, and this is like, I think most people have a general idea.
Yeah.
You just put yourself out there. It's easier for extroverts to be social, or whatever. But it's important to understand.
Do people even know? Because I remember, Josh, you brought up, we talked about introvert and extrovert. I thought it just plays a huge part in being social.
Yeah, absolutely.
People, what do people really think about being introverted? You brought up the real definition of what it
really
means.
So the real definition is, an extrovert actually essentially means that you gain energy when you're with others. So an introvert, when he's around with a group of people, can only be there for so long until he feels a lack of energy and he feels as if he needs to go home to recharge. An extrovert, on the other hand, is someone that only gains energy when they're in a group environment. And that
not
they
only,
are,
but to like
mostly gains energy in social situations, not only in social situations, right?
I'm confused how I put it, but
you said extrovert only gains energy in a social situation.
I thought I said not only. No, maybe.
Yes, what you said. Yes.
And mostly, it's not about extrovert is this guy is going to talk to more people than an introvert. It's just a matter of energy. Where you get, how do you recharge your batteries? And I know for Mike, for example, like he said, he enjoys his solitude in the morning. That's when he is recharging his battery, whereas Sash is recharging his battery when he's on Discord with his trading buddies talking about whatever the fuck they're talking about. And I know it ain't nothing like it's supposed to.
Like, I feel like with introverts, like, they especially think that they can't be social or they don't need to be social. Those are the people who really, like, that really need help being social and stuff like that. And I can relate to, I don't want to be social. It's scary to even meet people. I feel like it really comes down to you not really being comfortable in your own self. And
then you're afraid to put that out there to somebody and present it, that
like
true
being
self.
Being judged and being hurt or being persecuted, looked down on, whatever. You're just, like, afraid of, like, what the people are going to think about you. And that's fair enough, right? A lot of people deal with that in this world. But the way to combat that is to really go outside the comfort zone. Realize that just because I tell myself I'm an introvert doesn't mean I can't be social. Because what Joshua just said, just because you're an introvert doesn't mean you can't talk to people. Doesn't mean you can't have
gain energy from social situations.
Exactly. For me personally, it's like sometimes, like, I mean, when I'm with you guys, like, I feel good and stuff like that. Yeah. But in some certain social situations, I get drained from it, right? Which is fine, right? It's good to be aware of that. But that doesn't stop me from also being social and learning from other people, connecting with other people. It doesn't matter, right?
Right.
So.
But not locking yourself in a box and saying, okay, this is how I am. And if I'm in that situation, I'm not going to go in that environment just because I don't feel comfortable being in there. Because that's locking yourself in. Because it could be something to do with you, right? Then you have to, like, work on that. Like, not just you, but everybody in general.
Exactly.
What personally helped me was I was also like what Josh was saying, because I remember when we'd go play soccer, Sadul would be the one like going to people and asking them if they wanted to play with us, right? I mean, I would too, but like it was mostly Sadul, right? And I think I kind of broke out of this shell when I started going to the gym and I started like meeting new people and stuff. And like I would start it off simply, you know what I mean? I wouldn't like have a long conversation. I would just first be like, say what's up, you know what I mean? Then you would go to, you know, like, what are you hitting, you know, all this kind of stuff. Then, you know, I would learn to communicate with people in a way that wouldn't make me awkward. So first I would just say what's up, or I would just shake their hand, and I kind of got comfortable with that. And then I just started like talking to them longer and stuff. So it was just that's what helped me out. Like, you don't have to really think a complicated way. When I go to somebody, I need to talk to them for like 5 minutes or whatever, just small conversations.
Yeah, break it down
step by step.
I want to emphasize a huge point, which is embrace your weirdness. We are all weird as human beings.
Oh yeah,
and there is nothing wrong with that. And the true test of this is, I didn't talk to this girl, right? I haven't talked to her. I saw her in Florida. As in, like, I just met her. She's an extremely social person, very nice person. And then we just kind of replied to each other's Instagram stories every once and then, saying, how are you and everything.
Ew.
Then eventually, right, Ashley. And then she says, let's get on a call to talk about mentality. I was like, yeah, let's do it. Awesome, awesome. I haven't talked to this woman, like, actually in over a year. The first thing when we get on the call is I go, what's up? I'm not kidding. And there is nothing wrong with that. You know, people think, oh, they might think I'm weird. Good, because that's what makes you a human being. You guys of all people know that I make weird noises all the time. Yes.
Why do you do that?
It's who I am. I enjoy it. And I'm weird for it and to your standards, but to me,
that's weird. You're weird.
I know, but other people think it's weird, so I shouldn't do it in other people.
He called himself places. Weird.
But I'm just being himself weird. Right? I'm just being who I am. In society standards, I'm weird, but I'm being who I am, yeah. And I fucking love it.
Exactly.
And don't be scared to show that side of yourself. You know, they know I got names for fucking.
But sometimes it helps. You know, being weird, like saying that. What's up?
Dude, it's it opens awesome. Up because like, the me. Energy. I'm being me.
Fun, and just yeah. saying, somebody calls you on FaceTime, yeah. you're like, hey.
Yeah. Hey, how you been? What's up? Yeah. Yeah. Rather than it being like, oh, so how you been?
Just what's up? Energy is just one thing, but another, like on a psychological perspective, when you are when you're not afraid to show your quote unquote weird, it signals to the other person that you're okay with being comfortable around them.
Yeah.
That weird. You broke shows the
barrier.
Comfort.
You exactly. broke the barrier.
Yeah, so that shows. All right. There's a little bit of security. There's a little bit of trust behind this
opening up.
Person. Exactly. Yeah. yeah. So it's really strong yeah, yeah. in that sense. It builds a stronger relationship.
Yeah.
But also what you said is so beautiful because, and like you said, everyone is weird. It's just a matter of who's willing to show it and who's not. And the same thing I told Cole with the whole porn thing. Like he mentioned, everybody goes through it. And he said it's embarrassing to talk about it. I don't think so at all. I think it's a, like... Not even like a. One of
it's courageous.
Yeah, I don't think it's. I'm not trying to sound like one of those corny. You're brave for not being like for being a victim.
I don't think he said it's embarrassing to talk about.
You're
it.
Brave
he
for did, not being he said a
it's
victim.
It's embarrassing, and I told him I'm like. He there's
said
nothing
for other people it's embarrassing, but for him he doesn't think it's embarrassing because if anything he said it's good to be talked about.
No. He said it's embarrassing, and I told him I don't think there's anything embarrassing about that at all.
Oh, really?
Because everybody has gone through that. So. What is embarrassing about it if you go out and you are actually willing to speak about that? That's not embarrassing, dude. That's brave. Props to you. Thank you for being the one that actually takes a step forward and is willing to speak up on the fucking manner of the problem that's in front of us, right?
And there's somebody's got to. Yeah. You know, there are people that have probably similar story, even worse story, but they're so afraid to speak that.
Exactly.
But they're still going through it.
Exactly.
That means they're locked in a shell, and what Cole's doing technically is him sharing that story gives that person more freedom to share their story. That's exactly. one of the things that happens in a therapy room too.
It inspires and empowers whatever exactly. you want to throw. It brings more people, builds a little community around exactly. that and says, yeah, let's tackle the problem head on, right? And it's the same thing that applies with this whole being weird thing.
Yeah.
Once you get past that, everybody is weird. Once you can get past like being in, not being afraid to show it, which comes through being comfortable in your own skin. Like, Josh is very comfortable in your own skin. That's the only reason. That is the only reason he goes out and does this shit, dude. Like, we'll be at fucking dinner, and he makes a noise of a cow. Like, what the fuck? Who does that? In my eyes, you're fucking weird. Like, I'll tell you right now, in my eyes, you're fucking weird, but you're you. And that's okay, right? You're always going to be weird to somebody else. People define weird on whether or not it fits their standards or society's norms. So who gives a fuck about
just because they don't do it?
Yeah, because they don't sympathize with it? That's bullshit, bro. Like, who are you to say... That's weird because I don't align with that, and neither does society.
Because you know what's crazy? If Josh, for example, was sitting in the restaurant and he made that noise, somebody would have said he's weird, right? But if he didn't, somebody would still probably be like, "Yo, that guy's weird because he's eating weird." So either way, people are always gonna think something.
Yeah, that's true. Like, everyone's
always gonna find a way to.
Exactly. I don't care what you think of me, boy.
Well, what about
care what you think about me? Know what?
Like we're talking about weirdness, right?
Right.
So let's keep it weird, right? What about the?
Let's keep it freaky.
What about the people who think they're animals?
What?
Shit.
Oh, are they being,
furious?
Are they being authentic? Furious? Are they, is that just them being truly who they are?
Now, yes. Look, it depends. There's some weirdness that
furry.
Is actually,
that's,
yeah.
That's what
exactly.
I'm talking about.
Like, there's some weirdness that people just need to, like, analyze this stuff. You can't just be like, okay, I'm being myself, therefore I can just go and do
anything
things,
I want.
Like, anything I want in public. Because there's also ethics and stuff like that that matter in an environment.
Standards.
At least exactly, at least how I was raised, you know what I mean? So I think there's a level to it, and it doesn't really mean that you know you get to go and just really walk on your hands and stuff in public and just claim to be something that
I'm a scorpion god.
Like I feel like with people like that who I feel like there's something missing there with them being like I'm a cat.
For some people,
I'm
I feel like it's
now,
also like
right?
the type of people you're talking about, how I can imagine, is also the insecurity of trying to, you know, grab some kind of attention.
Yeah,
and
right?
also get attention from people just to validate themselves that, you know, somebody's paying attention to them. Mm-hmm. You know, and these type of stuff can lead to like bad things like school shooting and stuff. People, some kids do that to be on the news, and boom, out of nowhere, they're recognized because of how much trauma they have and how lonely they get, to the point where they are willing to do extreme as going up and shooting up a school, as bad as it sounds, to get their name out there. Mm-hmm. But that's the worst way to get your name out. You know what I mean? Do something good and get your name out there like that. But that's an I would say that's an unhealthy thinking from it's my perspective.
We're talking about being social. We're talking about how to be social and stuff like that. It also comes down to being yourself. How do you be yourself? Where's the line and the barrier between what does it really mean to be you and authentic? Does that mean, oh, like, I like being, like, fat. Like, I like being in my own, like, you do you. Like, go you. Like, you're doing okay. It's like, I don't, like, I feel like going
you can't push it too much, in my opinion.
You can't really, I don't feel like, I feel like going towards that route of.
That's a physical attribute.
You think?
Because you know what I'm getting at, right? Being fat is a physical attribute. We talked about, like, I know what essentially what you're saying, but I think being you is all about your character. Not, you know, you're not being you by being fat, because that's a physical attribute. That's a matter of action.
But that's also you, no?
I am because that is who I am.
That is who you, like, it's your physical attribute.
But when you're saying being authentic, that doesn't mean I'm being authentic by being fat. I'm confused here.
I'm comfortable being who I am.
Yeah.
Type of thing.
It's like,
and I don't care.
We're talking about being comfortable in your own skin.
What the other person.
Some people, they think they're dogs. They think they're cats. They think, okay, you know what I mean, these sort of things. So it's like, do we? What
is being authentic? Is that the same as being comfortable with your skin?
Here's what I have to say about this whole.
Of course. Because you're authentic to who you think you are.
People take it literally. That's what it is, I think.
They take it very literally. Being comfortable and being
because
authentic.
Because I'm saying.
Very similar, but still different, no?
Sasha, what were you going to say?
Yes. My idea with this whole thing of, like, being weird and when it actually becomes a problem is if your actions go and reflect onto somebody else's life in a negative manner. So if I go out and I just start brutally beating the fuck out of people, that's a weird thing to do. And there's no exception. Because I'm going. Evil. It's evil and it's weird, right? Because in my eyes, you're inflicting harm on somebody else unjustifiably for no, like, there's just nothing good about that.
Right.
But if you want to go out and you want to do your thing and not bother anybody else, like these furries, right? Let's talk about, like, the normal furry or the person that thinks they're a cat or whatever. Like, in my eyes, yeah, that's pretty fucking weird. I think what Josh does at dinner is also pretty fucking weird.
It also can disturb somebody.
But and that's just my opinion. If you don't like it, suck a dick. That's fine. But at the end of the day, who am I to judge how somebody else is to go about their day if they're not inflicting any harm on someone else? I believe that if you think you're a cat and you're not a cat, you're a human, you're pretty fucking weird. But at the end of the day, who am I to judge what you think you are? And for me to go out and just say things like you shouldn't do this, that feels a little hypocritical to what we're saying in the first place, because we're telling people to go and be themselves. And if someone truly feels like that's who they are, great. And I'm actually in respect.
Are we still on the same topic with Kat?
Yeah. And if that's who you think you are, I mean, I can tell you that's not who you are, but if that's who you want to be. I want to approach this without being canceled. The thing is, if that's who you think you are, I'm on their side. I'm on their side in the sense, because props to them for being able to go out and express their true self. What I just talked about.
You see, that's the thing. You think they can be their true self by being a cat?
I don't think so. I think
biologically speaking,
this has to be standards.
Biologically speaking, you cannot.
That's how we define things, through biology.
Well, through being your
character. If you're biologically a man.
Being yourself is following your character. Your character isn't defined by who you are biologically. It's defined by the things you find interest in and what you.
Well, biology also ties into it.
It ties into it.
You can't
eliminate biologically. I'm a man, so I may find more appeal to the NFL than a woman, right? But the idea is that your character is who you are and what you resonate with, what you find interest in. And if I find interest, or if I resonate with being a cat. Here's I can thing, tell you that you're not a cat, but that's okay. Dude, you want to be a
question
cat?
Mark
that's
this
fine,
puzzle,
because my
right?
idea is, if it doesn't affect me or anybody else, who gives a shit?
Well, when you say it's
but
fine,
it people, right?
What do you mean by it's fine?
Because people
as in,
start
I
driving,
have no problem.
People start going crazy.
It's fine
because
to me that I have no problem with it, because if you aren't, like, forcing, like, I know a lot of people have the notion that, like, the furries force things on kids or something, and of course there are a couple bad apples in a bunch. There's bad apples in every bunch. Right. Not all have to be classified like that. So, again, I don't care. You can go and be whatever the fuck you want. Like, people who think I'm being weird for being, like, energetic or whatever, there's no difference in me thinking they're being weird for being a cat. The thing is, we're both going and we're expressing our true selves. And I have no judgment to anybody that goes out and is willing to actually be able to express their authentic self. You think that's right for you? Good. Bro. I don't care. I don't. If that's really who you are or what you want to be, and nobody, and you've heard other people try to tell you different, but you don't resonate with any of it, that's just who you are, I don't care.
What if your authentic self is, you don't, you're like, you know, I'm not hurting anybody, you're not hurting anybody. You go out in the public and you just don't care about anything, and you start peeing in the middle of the street. You know what I mean? That's your
authentic self. Yeah, that's weird. That's weird. In my eyes, that's weird, and I will judge because that's public indecency. And
being inflicted on others. They're not showing their you know, their dick, you know, they're just peeing like in the corner, but it's still weird, right?
Yeah.
But then they can say, you know, I'm authentic self, you know what I mean? Like, this is who I am. See, what I'm trying to, like, say with this example is, like, I don't know, if people start, like, you know, like, literally taking this and saying, you know, I'm comfortable with this, I'm just going to do it because I know I'm not going to get judged, and, you know, if I'm comfortable, that means I can do it, people are going to go crazy, bro, I'm telling you. Because I think, and as I remember, you know, it first started saying, you know, identify as a, they were men and identify as a woman. Then he was like, you know, my pronouns are this and that. And then he was like, you know, I'm a cat now. I'm a wolf. And they started making the noises. They're like, I'm a cat now. Meow and stuff like that.
Is Josh going to turn into a cow one day? I don't know.
So what I'm trying to say here is because it started with little thing as not, it's not that big of a deal. Then it went to animals. I don't know. God knows where it's going to go to. So that's why I'm saying, like, you know, I don't
think... We got to have some kind of... I think it's good to have standards. How about that? Standards,
yeah. I agree. But we have to. What I have to say is that...
Can I matter just one question? Isn't it a little weird that there's not a single other animal... And humans are animals. At the end of the day, we are defined as an animal. There's not a single other animal that identifies as any other animal. You have never seen it once in your life. A hippopotamus decided to be a rhino. So, just something about that fact that something, I'm totally on your ball. I think you expressed that very well, which is at the end of the day, you shouldn't let other people bother you. And I think that was essentially your message, which is for some people, they're going to be bothered when they see a fury. And for you, they're not. And that is essentially what you want in life. You don't want to be bothered by what other people do. And that's a fantastic thing.
The thing is with that, people can stretch that. People can go really long, like long ways with that. Like, yeah, I sure let other people do it. I can just do whatever I want now. Who cares? I feel like
we do. Here's, I can literally at the end of the day, he'll be the happier man because he doesn't care.
Here's what I think. Like, again,
he'll be more at peace. Here's the thing. He's going to be at peace. You can't be at peace if you judge others.
Let me say something. If you think I'm judging those people that are doing those kind of stuff, I'm not. Because I am not judging anybody. I'm not the person to judge.
What, furries?
No. Like, people that are, like, you know, saying I'm okay. No, I'm not judging them. All I'm saying is that's weird.
Uh-huh.
Me being my authentic self, like, you know, just saying, you know, I don't care if I just mess up something when I'm doing a presentation, that's me being my authentic self. But me saying I'm a cat, that's weird, bro. And
What's wrong with you judge somebody with a good heart? Here's, if you do something wrong in the street and I tell you, hey, dude, that's wrong. That's not judging in a way that's hypocritical necessarily. You're really trying to, you know, show somebody that what they're doing is wrong.
Listen,
and if everybody says you do you, man,
negatively,
and then we go to what I think, we become those people that are just almost tolerant to everything. It's going to be chaos. Mm-hmm. Everybody's just going to do what they want, and then that's authentic to me. If that's authentic to me. And that's why in America we see this type of stuff a lot accelerate to, I don't know, like max compared to any other countries. We are one of the countries that have like all these deluded people, because people say, you do you, queen. If you feel that way, be that way. Who's to tell you that?
Mm-hmm.
We don't have morals. We don't have standards. We don't have a core foundation on what's right, wrong. People forgot it almost. We were the country once where we had all those things. You know, America is a very Judeo-Christian valued made country. The laws and stuff that exist in this country are coming from a very strong foundation of right, wrong, moral, ethics. But people forgot it. People turned away from it. And that's why you see all these changes going to radical left. Mm-hmm. That's all.
You know, me and you could be real to ourselves. Like, what I'm trying to say by real is, you know, when I'm saying I'm my authentic self, I'm not actually like, you know, I'm being real. But then people can just, you know, say random things. You know, I can be like, yo, I'm my authentic self. And I can just start becoming really, like, out of control. Then are you really being authentic or are you just being weird?
Okay.
That's where it gets tricky, you know what I mean?
So, let me just say this. There is a huge problem to saying, you do you. Because that's why I agree with what you said. There has to be a boundary to these types of things, right? It's like, I can't, like, if I just go out and fucking, again, I'm going to use a really extreme example so that we can also, I go out and I just start killing people. Saying, you do you, it's not okay. Because you're inflicting harm onto other people.
Yeah, be like, I'm violent person.
That's what makes you happy, bro.
Exactly. But you see, that's a physical harm. What if it's a psychological harm? Like somebody, dude, I'll be honest. Mm-hmm. Somebody going out on the street, a woman dressed as a cat or painted, and you don't necessarily see the physical part clearly, but it's still out there. That's a psychological pressure to a kid, if you ask me.
Okay.
And it's also a spiritual problem with people too. So it's not just the physical. Mm-hmm. Those type of stuff may not necessarily harm somebody, which some people get it wrong. If it's not physical, you're not doing anything wrong. No, there's a psychological aspect to it, mental and spiritual too. So that's what I'm trying to say. People sometimes neglect that.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Let me address that in a second. The reason why there needs to be boundaries is so that you can't just go doing whatever you want and inflicting harm.
There needs order to chaos.
Exactly. Like, there has to be something to stabilize it. You can't just go out and inflict harm on other people and say, it is what it is because I'm being myself. That's a completely different story. But if a furry walks in the costume on the side of the street in downtown and they're doing their thing, they're going shopping in stores, they're not forcing themselves onto anything, then that's fine. Now, if a kid sees that, I see what you're saying. With the whole idea of, oh, my kid sees that.
Now
well,
they're confused.
Yeah, now that, so now the kid does this.
Mommy,
well,
am I a cat?
Well, psychological harm can be applied to anything. So if your kid sees that and you're strongly against it, then it is your responsibility to go out and teach the kid differently.
Right.
Okay? Unless that furry goes out and they start telling the kid, be like me directly or whatever, or they start screaming out in the streets, be like me, disturbing people, then that goes against what I'm saying because you're inflicting some sort of harm there. But if they're doing whatever they want to do and they're just going, getting groceries and they want to go home and enjoy a movie or whatever, that's not causing harm to anybody else. If that causes harm, psychological harm to you, your perspective, or your kid, then it's one, your responsibility to teach your kids separately or differently, and it's your responsibility to teach yourself differently and say, listen, I don't resonate with this, so I have to go in it and I have to view it in a different manner.
You meet those kind of people everywhere.
Dude, like, I know why they're like, everyone says like they force it upon my kids or whatever, and I've seen it happen before, but not all of them do it. Like I said, there's bad apples in every single bunch.
For sure.
Right? So then those people that are breaking the barrier, the you do you barrier by inflicting harm, that's a completely different story. But my belief is if you're doing your own thing, you're not messing with anybody else, and you're just being you, who is to judge who you are?
Well said.
Let's go back to the apple in the bunch, right?
Yeah.
Let's say we have a basket of apples.
Okay.
One apple is moldy.
Yeah, it starts molding.
Can the good apples, all these good apples surrounding the moldy apple, make the moldy apple good again?
Well, my question is, why does being a furry have to be...
Well, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that you said the bad... There's a bad fruit in the bunch.
Well, that's
I'm
just
saying
a,
furry. I'm
yeah,
saying,
yeah.
What, just an example. Right?
Yeah.
If we're
but
use
it, isn't furry, like, the bad apple in this case?
Yeah, pretty much. That can infect
the
other ones. Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's what we're trying to say here.
Okay.
So, no, regardless, like, that dirty, the bad fruit is going to infect the other fruit around it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, regardless, you know what I mean? So it's like, the reason this has anything to do with being social is because the social game can be chaotic.
Yeah.
People are so confused out there, even someone watching, like, what does it really mean? Because when we say, just, you know, be yourself, be your authentic self, the reason I bring this whole topic up is because people are confused, because people don't really know, they don't have the awareness that, okay, what does it really mean to be me? Like, how do I even do that? How do I even go about that?
Mm-hmm.
So what were you going to say?
So let's pretend, like, in this scenario, the furry being bad is the apple, which I don't necessarily agree with, but I'm just going to go along with that in the first place. If that's how the apple is, it's moldy, right? It can't change that. That's already happened to it. It's a physical thing, and it's going to stay like that however for as long as it possibly will, unless someone else goes and personally cuts it out, right? That apple will indeed infect the other apples with the mold, especially if they're touching. Which is why I said it's your responsibility to go out and protect yourself. In this scenario, the apples around that mold need to move away from it so they don't catch onto that. And you do that through teaching your kids whatever I was just saying, how, listen, you shouldn't resonate with this or whatever, like you want to put it. If the apple cannot change, which it's already moldy, they can't go back. You can't go back in time. You can't reverse that. You have to separate yourselves and not catch that. So why this is interesting to me is because this apple that is itself, right? And once it's moldy, is pushed away from the other apples and it's just doing its thing and it's not infecting the other ones. Is there a problem? That apple may be moldy.
What if
that
apple can't move himself?
But the apple's disconnected now. But in this scenario, you can't.
Or like even you in general, like sometimes, you know, there are parents that, you know, really want to, you know, teach their kids that, but, you know, the problem is already too strong that to the point where their explanation already doesn't matter because the kid's already harmed by it.
Okay, so
they're looking at it so much and it's like almost everywhere they go. And so like what happens then?
So if that apple is moldy, and let's say the apples move away, but then that apple keeps following and getting mold on the other ones, then that's breaking the barrier of inflicting harm because that apple is personally going out and trying to get the other ones moldy. Right.
But they're not. I'm giving you a different example. It's like your kid everywhere they go, even in school, you know, out with their friends. You know, their parents are not always going to be with them, right?
Yeah.
Everywhere they go, they see that. They see that. You know, they're dressed like that, and they're like, you know, they're not telling them anything, but they see a group of people, each other. They're talking in like meow meow. They're not even talking in real language. Now this guy goes everywhere, and he gets to the point where whatever their parents, you know, their parents obviously teaching them, you know, this is. You know, not real or whatever. But, you know, the problem is already too strong to the point where the kid's already getting affected by it, by those bad apples.
Uh-huh.
What happens then?
So
how do we go about that?
Using the apples. Let's say I'm an apple and I'm the perfectly good one and all the other ones now I'm the weird apple in the bunch. I'm perfectly good and all the other ones are moldy, like in the scenario you're saying. I still have the choice to take myself out of that bunch and not resonate with the moldy ones.
Yeah, also depending how old you are. When you're little, you really don't know.
Yeah, I'm not going to deny that as a kid, you're easily influenced over others. You absolutely are.
I'm talking about
kids.
I'm not talking about like adults.
Yeah, but even in the same scenario, the kid growing up, if that's what they want to resonate with and they're not going to put harm onto anything else, whatever. But also, if that kid is
bro,
in...
Why would any kid, like realistically speaking, why would any kid want to resonate being a cat, bro? I don't understand. Why would a human being want to resonate with a cat? Like, realistically speaking, like, I don't understand this kind of thing. Like, why would a kid want that, bro?
And we don't know. And I don't either.
Bro.
I don't either.
It could be
delusion,
bro.
That's because the society is...
Normalizing.
No, but listen.
Normalizing
like,
those kind of things.
I think you should talk to someone. This type of behavior
now. Talk to someone who identifies as a cat. And then you'll know the answer, yeah.
You're right.
Oh,
we're
just going to be like, I don't know, I'm just a cat, you know what I mean?
Georgie,
I'm not afraid to ask a furry why you think that you are the way
ask
you are.
Ask him by all means,
yeah,
but that's...
I would love to, but I'm just you know, going to say my opinion.
You're
judging.
No, but you're saying they're going to say meow, meow.
And you don't?
No, I'm not saying that, but you said...
Everybody,
meow,
meow,
you do
that.
Everybody
like,
judges.
I just feel like they wouldn't be able to.
It's
do
not
this.
Right for
it's
us to any of us
judge.
Here to say, oh, like, oh, then you're judging.
Bro, can
like,
I
we
not
all
like,
judge?
Can I not talk then? Like, I'm saying my opinion.
Yeah,
but let me.
That's
not
judging.
You just said
my opinion
is not
judging.
You won't be able to talk to them.
I said I will talk to them, but what I'm
Georgie, your opinion is you judging. My opinion is that Josh is ugly. That's me being judgmental. In your scenario, being afraid. But here's the thing: you don't resonate with people. Being like wanting to be a cat, and I don't know.
Well,
no
like,
one here does.
Georgie, what do you think about this? Like, what are you setting me up to like then call me you're judging or like what is that?
You're
because you
asked
me my opinion, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That means you're setting me up then to call.
I'm not setting
I'm
you up to say you're judgmental. I'm setting you up to understand where I'm coming from in this.
No.
And in this scenario, where the idea is that we can't resonate with being a cat.
Look, Josh
that's
asked
why
me,
to us it's weird. That's the whole
look,
point of this.
Josh asked me. You can go talk to them. And I said, I would love to. Then I said, but I think this is what they would tell me. How is that judging? It's not.
I didn't hear about that. I thought you were talking. You were.
If
I'm saying you were judging
talk
because
to them,
you're talking
that mean
about.
Being what I'm saying is, listen, I would go talk to them. I'm just saying my opinion that I think they wouldn't give me a solid reason to justify their what's it called, actions. That's what I'm gonna say.
But
that's not judging.
Using your opinion isn't a good testification.
Because you can never use your opinion, because then you can always turn it around and say
I think your shirt is ugly.
We're abusing the word judgment.
You think all furries go meow meow? If they identify,
they probably do. But listen.
Well,
listen.
Not all of them.
Me and Mike had we had a fury in our class.
Fury.
Yeah,
Georgie.
That's what they
do. I think what, how you're sitting right now is weird.
They didn't talk meow meow. They were talking human.
With a tail?
Yes, they had a tail. They were talking like human beings. They don't go meow meow, because you can't actually articulate anything saying meow meow to somebody.
Dude, with all respect, I do not give a fuck what a furry does. With there between meow meow.
You're judging.
What I will, your every opinion, Georgie. No, I think the way you're sitting.
I don't
want to
abuse the word judgment like that, bro.
It's every opinion
I
have.
I mean, I don't
want to
abuse the word.
I don't like.
I don't
want to
abuse
I
the
think...
word opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Judge like that. It's a judgment. I don't want to abuse the word opinion as a judgment, because opinion is not a judgment.
Georgie,
here's also another thing. Personally, like if somebody just like comes up to you and says, "Oh, you're judging," first I'm gonna ask that person why they're so against judging, because I actually don't think anything is really wrong with judging itself. Judging is something that almost should happen in order for me to be able to express myself, to tell you, this
Bingo.
Is what I think.
Bingo.
That's judging right there. Him saying,
yes.
You sitting wrong, or, yo, you sitting like that is weird, that's judging him. But then I think a more rational conversation would be,
in this case, how am I judging?
Why do you think this is...
That?
What?
How am I judging in this,
because,
in this case?
Because every opinion you have is a judgmental. I hate the way you're sitting, but I love your hair. That's me being judgmental in the court of law. The judge that decides whether or not they're free,
okay,
or whatever.
Yeah, don't use the word. I don't know.
But it doesn't have to have a negative connotation behind it, though. That's
but
what
people
I'm
have
to say.
Put it that way. That's probably why.
Yeah,
you're
because mostly when they say they're judging
like
you, they're judging it
badly. For me,
way.
I swear it's not.
I like Sadula's hair. My judgment is that it's good.
I like yours, man.
Hey, and then we resonate that some sort of middle ground, whatever.
But it's also good, like, not even just judging, making observations, okay? Like, not even labeling the
exactly,
observation
dude.
As good or bad.
Yeah.
This
but
person,
where
this
would
we
person
be if
we
didn't
make
and
observations?
Then, like, most of the time we will judge it, though. I'm not saying that, right? Most of the time I'm not saying, oh, you shouldn't say it's right or wrong.
Book.
I mean, yeah, you should, right? But when it comes to just
we can
observation,
also put a positivity
okay, this person
bitch,
does this. This person does this. And you're asking yourself in your head, why? You're just making an observation, right? Not judging it right away. People judge things right away. They judge
and
it
judging
good or bad, wrong, right in the category.
Good, right?
They do.
But no, wait a second.
So let's just call
it judging
bitch
wrong.
Because
they do.
There's nothing wrong with
judging. Every time they judge it
oh,
right away.
Okay, and that's
so
wrong. Okay,
curse
yeah,
because I'm
saying,
go deeper.
I thought you were saying they don't do
just
that.
Just being
I love somebody, that's why I'm cursing at them. Let's just go like that, man. I'm just saying, it's going to take us really far, man. It really does.
But you see,
I mean, I don't know. You can go in the world just say judgment, but I'm pretty sure most people are going to take it negatively because the word itself, judgment, I don't know.
Yeah,
it has a negative
connotation behind it. You're right.
Who are you to judge me? Right.
And if we put it in a way that, you know, judgment is also a good thing, then, you know, world can just go really far by calling each other curse words, because they're going to be like, I mean it positively. And maybe they do, right? But then it can go really far.
The difference is that a curse word,
I'm just saying,
when I call you a slur, or it's a swear word, there is no... It's a slur for a reason. It's a swear word for a reason. There is no positive.
I'm saying people can put a positivity, just like how, you know, you guys are saying, you know,
then
I'm
they're
somebody,
illiterate. Or they don't understand.
That's a good thing, you know. Like, the way I'm taking it is, you know, I'm not judging anybody. You know, in this case, what we're talking about, I'm not judging anybody.
Mm-hmm.
If we were talking about something else,
mm-hmm.
I would admit that I'm judging them. But in this case,
mm-hmm.
I'm not. So I don't want to say I'm judging them, you know, even though I'm not. Like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm going to judge somebody, then I'll be honest and say, then it comes down to trust. I mean, do
but
you
judge
word?
Almost every single, like, I'm judging my room right now because I don't like the way that bed is placed. Or I'm judging this couch right now because I vacuumed it and it didn't pick up well enough. Even though that's definitely my fault, right? Like, judging doesn't have to just be on a person. I can judge an orange because I don't like the way it smells or whatever, right? We're steering away from the topic, but... The grand scheme, what I was getting at originally, is there has to be a barrier, like Sadula said, between you do you, and my barrier is if it reflects harm on other people. And if you actively are going out and you're doing it and you're committing public indecency, or if you're peeing on corners, which is like what's trespassing on public property or whatever, you're causing harm on someone's property, like all those barriers still get affected. That's why we have laws set in society which say... That's why the justice system is a thing in the first place, so that you can't just go fucking kill someone, so that you can't just go steal and shoplift whatever store you see at. That's the barrier.
Great, that's your bear. Now, before anyone argues, because I think we all have different bears here.
That's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. Yeah. We're five different human beings. Mm-hmm. Cool. Great. Now, what challenges or what tricks do you have under your sleeve when it comes to becoming social? Because I know, Sash, you said...
So, I'm going to start off with this one. The most important thing to, like, when you're looking to become social, you have to understand why you're not in the first place. And my belief is that it's a fear of rejection. You're scared that the conversation isn't going to go so well, or you're scared that the person you're trying to network with is going to flop and they're going to have a bad connotation of you. It's going to be a bad first impression or whatever, right? It's that fear of rejection. So one thing that I personally did to combat that is I went and I did this ask for three free things 100 times challenge. And Josh, I've talked about this before, where I would literally just ask a cashier, hey, can I get this for free? And I would hear them tell me no. And every time they did, I hear the no, and there's a psychological aspect behind that because I'm already getting used to being rejected to the point where it's not a problem to me. And what is the loss in that? Like, I got a free cookie with Josh one time in Chocolate Chocolate. I'm like, hey, can I get this cookie for free? Yeah. No, most of the times, I didn't do 100 times. I think I did it like 20, maybe even 30, right? And that was the only time I actually did it.
Did you get rejected the most times?
Yeah, that was the only time I actually got something right. 1 through 30, 1 through 20. But that's the point. The point is that you're constantly hearing yourself say no. That way you understand that, listen, I don't have to take this personally. They're just being them, whatever. And that way I'm not afraid to go into the next conversation fearing rejection. Right. Fearing that it goes the wrong way.
Yeah.
Exactly. Another challenge I have is, this relates to public speaking, but also this can be converted into every single aspect of your life. And that's whenever you go and you're looking at someone and you say, damn, this guy looks well-fashioned. I want to come up to him and I want to talk to him so I can build that network, build that connection. Or, oh my God, this girl is so pretty. Let me go talk to her. Your mind is going to start to play tricks on you. And it's going to say, it's going to be that salesman that knows all of your weak points the best. And it's going to say, no, I'm a little nervous. What if it goes wrong, right? Or maybe what if she doesn't like me the way I am? Or maybe this guy who's I want to have a solid connection with isn't right. I can recognize that I'm becoming nervous. I can recognize that my energy is being shifted in a negative manner. So what if I could trick my mind into saying, instead of being nervous and scared and anxious about that conversation, what if I tell myself I'm excited for it? What exactly. If I tell myself I'm looking forward to this conversation because I have nothing to lose? Worst case scenario, they don't want to be my fucking friend. They don't want to be my connection. The girl thinks I'm ugly. I don't care. I trick my brain by being excited for it. And this is the most effective way for like public speakers. If you're having trouble with like public speaker, instead of going, or if you're taking a test, instead of being nervous to trick your brain, be like, fuck yes, become hyped, become pumped for it. Be like, this is an opportunity for me to learn. This is an opportunity for me to grow. And I'm going to take advantage of that. So that's my second thing. It's tricking your brain into thinking the good thing instead of the bad. My third thing is what Sadul mentioned. How it can be a simple conversation. Just saying, hey, how are you?
Oh, that was me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, my fault. Just doing that.
Yeah.
Instead, like that works just as well. How I used to do it is I would just give a random compliment. And I've seen this on the internet everywhere, and I love it. I just say, hey, dude, nice shirt. Or, listen, oh, wow, nice shoes, bro. Or
nice cock.
I'm going to sit in silence.
Continue.
If I say...
It's a compliment.
He's being his authentic self, guys.
Yeah. He is, right? Yeah, and he's weird for it, but
that's a compliment,
it's him, right?
Is that not a compliment?
It is a compliment.
Right. There we go.
Great.
You're the one that's making.
If I come up to them and say, "Hey, dude, I love your hairstyle. We're gonna like just something."
You're saying the weird thing though.
What? What's weird about it?
He's making it weird. Okay.
Yeah. Are you out of your fucking mind? The idea is, regardless, when I go out and I give a compliment, understanding psychology, compliments are not meant to be taken in like a negative manner. So when someone hears something good about themselves, they're not gonna be like, "Ew, what the fuck?" They're gonna be like, "Ah, thanks, man." And more often than not, what I discovered is they give you a compliment back. That's a great confidence booster right there. Going out and just giving some nice, simple compliments, little ones. Nice hair, dude. Oh, bro, that shirt is so tough. You were supposed to dab me up. Oh, bro, that shirt is so tough. And oh, bro, like, you're watching that game? I love that shit, too. Literally, what? Well, that's not a compliment. That's a great game. I love that. Whatever, like, little things like that matter so much because people love hearing it. And why that's important for you is because it's getting yourself out there. And you're saying, damn, like, I can really go out and talk to these people.
Just they're as simple as that. So what if every conversation I ever, like, if I'm ever nervous and I want to start a conversation, just start by giving them a compliment. Nobody's going to react in a negative manner to that. What? You like my fucking shirt? Are you an idiot? Like, yeah. Except for this guy who denies the compliment.
I don't do that as often as you think.
I'm playing.
But dude, I've noticed since you said that, and there's other people doing that as well.
Deflecting?
Yeah, deflecting. Uh-huh. And doing that type of stuff.
And you became, like, so aware of it too,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Does it piss you off?
No. It doesn't.
Good for you.
But I just get curious. It doesn't piss me off, though. I wouldn't take it personally.
That's true.
I don't let other people bother me like that, Josh.
Well said. Wise. But yeah, that's the one of the easiest ways.
I don't let people get to me like you do.
That's one of the easiest ways just to have, like, give someone a compliment. Because let's say the other person's in a rush, or they don't have time to talk to you, or they don't even want to. That's fine. They're just going to say, oh, thanks, man. You too. And then you just walk away. All you lost absolutely nothing. Instead, you gained putting a smile on somebody's face and receiving one back. So,
exactly. But Sash, what if I lose aura?
How are you going to lose aura in this situation? The person doesn't give you a compliment back? That's the other person losing aura, not you, dude. If I give someone a compliment and they're like, ugh, am I really the one that lost aura? No, dude, it's them. Like, you're the asshole in this scenario, so... Fuck that. Like, I don't care.
You gained aura, bro.
If you're the first person to speak, obviously you lost aura, dude.
Oh, you know that. The aura thing. Okay.
If they don't give you the compliment first, that means you're the beta.
I can't. I'm done.
According to who? Yeah. Josh?
So obviously the Sigma professor.
Those dude, three incredible strategies. Quick little recap. Just go around complimenting people. Use energy to transmute the nervous or anxious feeling into becoming excited, being pumped, being hyped for the opportunity to grow in whatever scenario. And then, I forget what my first one was.
Jesus.
Well, let me chime in here. I want to chime in, just a little tip. I don't know if you guys can resonate, but I damn sure think you guys can.
Taking it to excitement and switching.
That was my second one.
Tricking your mind.
That was my second one that I just mentioned. Really? And then the fucking compliment, and then fear of rejection one. Sorry.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
99% of the problem is just the first second. Like, as soon as you say the first word in the compliment, the problem's gone.
So it's just about breaking that barrier?
It's just about breaking that barrier. It literally is. For me, yeah, you guys have public speak. Remember, we did a presentation at me and Sasha's school, and that one I was absolutely not nervous. But there have been presentations where I am nervous.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt about it, even to this day. Just something that I'm not very accustomed to, and it still gets me. And all I found is after the first 10 seconds of speaking, it all goes away.
Mm-hmm.
All goes away. So if you know that 99% of the problem is just the first 10 seconds, that's all 99% of your focus should be, is just conquering that one issue.
I feel like when I started making content too, like the first video or first piece of content I ever posted, I was so nervous, like, oh my gosh, like, I felt like before I even uploaded it, I was just like so like swirled up in my stomach, anxiety, like I was like, oh my god, what are people going to think, blah, 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 blah. And I started like getting in my head and overthinking it, but it's like 10 months later, I posted over 100 pieces of content now, it's like, I just do it. It's just, I don't even think about the people. I don't think about other people anymore, like, doing content. Like, when you guys have posted content, like, you guys have your own stuff. Like, did you feel nervous, like, posting your videos?
Yeah, and then the thing about that is when you realized how much, how you didn't really have to be nervous at all. Because it's like Josh said, I like how he said it. It's really the barrier that, like, gets in your head rather than, like, what's actually happening in the moment. Because as soon as you start doing it, you're in the flow. But until then, that's when the battle starts.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mental battle, and then everything else is just already you doing the work. Like, for me personally, when I started, you know, knocking on doors and, you know, offering my service and stuff, it was the barrier of what I would say, how I would say it, how people would react, what if I got rejected. That was the barrier I had to overcome. And then the next barrier was how I could go about, you know, improving what I said to the first customer, then to the second, the third, something for me to change up. Like,
it was already in the process what I was changing up. But before that, it was a battle that I had to win to even get started. Because I'm telling you, dude, there was a time where, like, me and Ruslan were hesitating so much to even go and knock on the door. It's like, yo, let's get it down. Like, what are we even going to say? Like, what's going to happen? All that kind of stuff. But then, like, I just had to be like, what's the point of me being here and doing this when I'm going to get rejected regardless? Like, there's no way there's not going to be that one person that just says no. Like, no chance. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I felt so confident and so comfortable with knocking on doors because it's like you're comfortable with somebody saying no to you. Like, the worst case scenario, somebody just said no. Yeah. That is the worst. Literally. And my thinking was totally different. It was like, oh, maybe somebody laughs at you. Maybe somebody just literally slams the door at you. But the chances of that happening was very unlikely. Mm-hmm. There was some people every now and then just closing the door in your face, but very, very unlikely. Most of it, respectfully, no. And there was a lot of good things that came to it as well. They were just like, guys, keep on doing this. I may not need it at the moment. I'll definitely contact you if anything in the future. So, you know, sometimes we make it worse in our heads than it really is, for the most part.
Sometimes. Absolutely. I mean, it's every time.
Yeah.
It's every time.
And like I said, dude, your mind is the best salesman because it knows all your weak points. And I love what you said because that's the whole reason why I like my strategy of just asking for free shit. You're going to hear no often. And then the same way with you in the doors, after you hear so much, it just becomes natural. There's nothing wrong with it. On to the next one, right?
Yeah.
So there's just so many things. And I love that in your scenarios, it's just putting the reps in, because at the end of the day, being social is a skill. Yes, it comes more naturally to others, just like every other skill, but it's still a skill that you need to harden, you need to work on. You need to put in the reps, and that's exactly what you did with your video. Personally, I didn't feel nervous about my first video. I can't say the same. I don't know if I'd be able to say the same thing though if we didn't do a podcast that we already had like 50 episodes before I actually went to post on my channel, right? Through the repetition where that nerve was killed. So that's why at the end of the day, you need to like tune this skill.
For sure.
As the great slogan by Nike, just do it.
Just do it.
Just do it.
And honestly, that slogan actually helps me. I don't know. Some people think it's like a cringy thing to say. It's Nike's, but it has helped.
Because the dude, I think it's genuinely the dude, just they think of does the dude. Help. Just do it.
What's his name? David Shiloh. Fuck.
Like, saying that word before something I'm nervous has worked before.
For sure.
Multiple times.
Yeah, it gets you in the state of mind.
Where it really does. But again, that just works for me personally. For somebody else, you have a different slang. But everyone has inside a slang that resonates to them. You know it deep down. Just find it. Use it.
Yeah. And I think another like important thing that I want to also share what happened during that experience was you gotta have a positive mindset on like facing rejection, because I don't know, this is how I felt. No matter how I prepared myself, when it happened, it's hard to not let that affect you. You know what I mean? Like, rejection isn't something easy to face. It gets to you. So like, I had to, you know, make it fun. I had to be like, I had to just like laugh about somebody saying no. I had to take that positively somehow. I had to tell myself, yeah, they just simply didn't want my service. They probably didn't even want the car detailed. Like, I had to tell myself positive things to get my mind off of somebody rejecting me because of me. Because I did something so terrible that I was the problem. Like, I wasn't the problem. Even though I could do something to work towards that, sure. But to say that you're the central problem only is how you can get in your own head and not even be able to go and approach any doors at all. Like, you can literally traumatize yourself from a rejection as well. So it's a very, very... So it's a very, very... That you do something about
keeping your mind in a positive state for sure.
I love that.
Because whether you want it or not, it gets to you. It just does.
Yeah.
It's a very hard thing, especially when you start doing it for the first time.
I feel like it's really important to mention that a lot of people, when they look at rejection and they face it, they take it so personally.
Yeah, right.
In your scenario, once someone slams the door on you or whatever, it doesn't mean you have to take it personally. They're just not interested. Maybe they're in a like hurry, or maybe they have better things to do, and that's okay. What are you gonna fucking force them? No, you don't have to take anything so personally, to the point where it becomes unhealthy and it steers you away from going out and being social. So that's
really important to mention.
Because that's another skill. Literally going up to somebody random, especially absolutely. At their own house, absolutely. Knocking on their door, and they're yeah. opening up the door, and you're trying to sell them something. And I'll be honest, there was some times where their sign said, no soliciting. So I was like, wait, really? What if they called the police?
Because I'm here soliciting.
And all that kind of stuff. That's not really what happened yeah. at all. So that's another challenge you put yourself against, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's something gives you more confidence. Extra XP. Literally. For another quest.
Exactly. Level up.
Fuck, I had something so great to say off of what you just said that slipped my mind.
But it's positive mindset, something with a fear. What else did I say? Let him, not your personal thing.
It'll probably come in like a couple minutes.
Let him do his thing. Let him do his thing. But as he's thinking, any final words? I mean, I think this just wraps a good, like, it's like a present. Yeah. Know? We're putting the ribbons up. We're getting to the, you know, little bow tie of the quote of the day and the shout out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Sash, do you have any
recall? If you think of it,
just say.
Yeah, yeah, if I think of what I said, but as far as the conclusion goes, my key points would just be to find the barrier, find the skill to be able to break the barrier, like what you guys were talking about. Try to implement the strategies that I mentioned earlier and understand that this is a skill that you're going to have to consistently work on, because like I mentioned in the beginning of the episode, this plays a role in damn near every single aspect of your life.
Here's sure. a good emphasis. There are skills like sales, which apply to certain scenarios. Being social applies to every single scenario. Every single scenario with another human being.
Yes, it does.
Let me reiterate that. Mm-hmm. Well, not when you're going to bed.
Because everyone you're not social to is just a missed opportunity.
Exactly.
Especially if you wanted to be. Let me probably leave that.
Yeah. And it also helps with just growing as a person in terms of your knowledge, because everybody has something to offer. Everybody has something to tell you that is so different from your own thinking that makes you think and that, you know, teaches you something that you didn't know. Like our guests, right? Mm-hmm. Like ever since we started the podcast, one, it began from our friend group, how different we are and how we help each other grow. And I've noticed that I've been growing so fast during the past year because of being around you guys, having the podcast, and just living the lifestyle that I am living compared to the other years that I reflected on. Mm-hmm. So, you know, every guest that comes on and talks about their own experience, you see a different picture about the, like, same topic. Like, somebody talks about their weight loss. Somebody talks about their fitness journey. You see the same occurring topic, which is fitness journey, but it's so different. It shows you different, like, different perspectives to things. Mm-hmm. And it opens up your mind to be more creative and opens up your mind to be more, like, open to learning in general, and makes you be more fascinated about, okay, what does this person have to say? And just approaching somebody that even is your friend and just saying, hey, do you want to come on the podcast? Because your close friend or somebody telling you no to come on your podcast can also have an effect of you thinking, oh, is my podcast bad? Do they not want to, you know, partake in something that I do? So it's like you're working through so many skills all at once by just literally putting yourself out there and just doing it.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck, dude, same thing. Fuck.
Just do it.
It's okay. Just do it. Love it.
Just do it, yeah.
Anyways, quote of the fucking day.
Society is like a large piece of frozen water, and skating, well, is the great art of social life. And me and George were actually talking about this because I want to see how you guys decipher what she's trying to say. Who wants to give it a stab?
Oh, give me a second. And chime in, guys. I need a second.
I'll tell you how I interpret
Don't
it.
Don't shut up.
Water and skating well is the great art of social. Well, it says skating well on a frozen ice is a great art of social life. So when you're comfortable skating on that ice, well, you know you're doing something you're doing something authentic to yourself, comfortable, you're doing it well. This helps you with your social life and gets you the connections that
what you would rather not experience if you didn't do it in the first place. So
I would guess you have to move place. Skating is all about moving. So
frozen water, as in the land we live in, so in this example, America. And skating well is just making sure you go different places, because if you don't, if you just stay in your own house, you can't meet new people.
Yeah, that's a good question. Mike, do you want to give us that?
Yeah, I mean, the great art of social life. I mean, society is like a large piece of frozen water. I just think when I read this, I think of just like a block of ice, and like you're the sculptor. How great do you want your social life to be? Do you want it to be pristine, nice, and sharp, or do you want it to be like all chaotic, or do you want it to be lopsided, like however you want it? I see it as a sculptor. I don't know why it says like it says skating.
Yeah,
but that's just how I interpret it.
You obviously have the wrong answer, bro.
I'll tell you guys how.
That's your opinion.
Are you judging? Wait, is he judging?
Yeah, he is actually.
And that's your opinion.
I'll tell you guys how I deciphered it to Georgie.
Okay, talking to this.
This one. Okay, yeah, I'll tell you guys how I broke it down to Georgie, and obviously referring to ice skating. If you want to ice skate in the first place, you need a foundation, and that's that large piece of water. So what she's trying to say is that society is your foundation to being social. If you want to be able to skate in the first place, you need people to talk to, and that's where you find society. So if you want to actually go out and do it well, you can't be afraid to go and interact with the people that consist in that society, because that's the foundation.
Because how are you going to skate without the ice, right?
Exactly. So
yeah,
that's the way I saw it. I realized I put a comma when I was announcing it in the first place where it did not belong.
Wait, where does the comma go?
No, I thought there was a comma behind well, but it's just skating well. So I'm in it. That's my fault, but that only makes my that makes it clear what I'm trying to say.
Nice. I think you're pretty wrong, too.
Thank you, Josh. Mm-hmm. Who wants to read the shout-out?
Wait, did we see the other?
You were
Elizabeth. This was by Elizabeth Landon.
Yep. Elizabeth Landon.
Mike, you got it. Mike.
Dallas Stefan 2979. Me and my sister are the only ones living left in a family of seven. I've been living my life like that for over 30 years, and I still have some regrets about not being there enough for the ones I love. And the reason this is one of our comments on.
Did we reply?
No, we didn't. But this is one of our comments that we got from an episode with Danny talking about death meditation, right? Talking about how, thinking about a family member dying.
Meditate, yeah.
It furthers your relationship by you being grateful for them, appreciating them. So, to respond to Dallas Stefan, right, that's a terrible thing. I'm sorry that you went through that. Family leaving you is, like, one of the worst things possible, especially if you were really close to them. But instead of, like, regretting, stick with the ones that you have, and, I mean, don't regret. Do what you would have done with the person you have now, with the people who are not with you anymore. And don't waste this opportunity that you have with this one person that you have left. So that's what
like,
I would say.
Yeah, keep on, like, kind of like, take this as a lesson and then move on with a greater opportunity for you to grow stronger with them, rather than having to regret it later on when some time also passes and saying, oh, I should have done something about it instead of regretting it. So that would be another regret on top of a regret. So
That's all I would say.
I love it.
I'm sure they're happy watching it down. Don't beat yourself up. Pass the
Thank
past.
You for the comment.
Today is Master Uguay. Just listen to Master Uguay. Master Uguay is the true
master.
True master of life. Yes.
Master Spook.
Yeah.
You need a sensei? Master Uguay is first.
Okay. And with that,
think big, grow big.
Like and subscribe.